This is AudioRx.study, where pharmacists, pharmacy students, and the pharmacy profession comes to learn through audio learning. Learn through listening at AudioRx.study, a dedicated audio platform designed for busy pharmacy students, pharmacists, and pharmacy industry professionals.
Hello, hello, Pharmacy Podcast Nation, and welcome back to another episode of the NAPLEX Podcast. In our last episode, we started to review anxiety disorders. So today we are going to continue that review and we are going to discuss depression, also known as major depressive disorder. We are going to review diagnosis of depression as well as drug treatment, and we are going to compare and contrast the different drug therapies that we have available for these patients who experience depression symptoms. We are also going to go over how we go about selecting the best antidepressant for each of our unique patients. So today's review is going to be one that you do not want to miss. When it comes to what causes depression, this is actually a topic that is not very well understood. We know that depression involves a genetic predisposure as well as environmental factors and certain biologic factors that play a role in who will and will not develop depression. But it's also believed that the neurotransmitters that are involved in depression symptoms are going to play a big role in this. And these neurotransmitters are going to include serotonin, glutamate, acetylcholine, dopamine, norepinephrine, and epinephrine. As we reviewed in our last episode where we discussed anxiety disorders, there are going to be drugs that can induce depression symptoms as well. Some of these drugs are going to include our ADHD medications, certain cardiovascular drugs like our beta blockers, hormones like hormonal contraceptives and anabolic steroids, as well as benzodiazepines, interferons, ethanol, and several others. To diagnose depression, we are going to utilize the DSM-5 criteria, which we discussed briefly in our last episode as well. And we also can utilize the HDRS or HAM-D depression assessment. And we are going to base this diagnosis on the presence of at least five of the following symptoms: depressed mood, decreased sleep, diminished interest or pleasure, a feeling of guilt or worthlessness, a decrease in energy, a decrease in concentration, a decrease or increase in appetite, psychomotor agitation or retardation, and suicidal ideation. If the patient is experiencing at least five of those symptoms, then we can make an accurate diagnosis of major depressive disorder. It's also very important that we rule out bipolar disorder prior to initiating any antidepressant therapy to avoid inducing mania in a patient. This is also known as rapid cycling, and this means that the patient is cycling between bipolar depression and mania. When anxiety is present in a patient, benzodiazepines will be used adjunctively, but we want to make sure that benzodiazepines are never being used as monotherapy in depression. So I would make sure you remember that. As I mentioned in our previous episode, benzodiazepines can put the patient at risk of psychological dependence as well as withdrawal symptoms, and they are going to be at an increased risk of respiratory depression and death. The same natural products that we saw used in anxiety disorders can be used in depression as well, and those are going to include valerian root and St. John's wort, but we also have an agent called SAM-E that patients often use for depression, but you want to make sure you know that St. John's wort and SAM-E both have adverse effects of inducing serotonin syndrome, and they should not be used with other strong CYP inducers. When it comes to our drug therapy that is utilized for depression, it's important that our patients understand that it can take 1 to 2 weeks for them to feel any benefit from these agents, and it can take 6 to 8 weeks for them to feel the full effect of the drugs. We want to counsel our patients that their low energy and physical symptoms will improve within the first few weeks, but their psychological symptoms, like their mood, may take a month or even longer. For those patients who are pregnant, our SSRIs are going to be used initially, but the FDA has issued a warning for risk of persistent pulmonary hypertension of the newborn. So with the exception of paroxetine, we will use our SSRIs initially, and then our tricyclic antidepressants are going to be preferred with the exception of doxepin. All antidepressants are going to have a black box warning for increased suicidal thoughts and actions in some of our children, teens, and young adults. And a med guide is required and will say that this drug may increase the risk of suicidal thinking and behaviors, especially in our adolescents and young adults. Our SSRIs are going to be first line, and you'll remember from our last episode that these are our selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors that are increasing available serotonin. And these do have warnings for QT prolongation and hyponatremia in the elderly, as well as bleeding and syndrome of inappropriate antidiuretic hormone secretion. Our SSRIs are also going to be contraindicated with the use of linezolid or with the use of Brizdel in pregnancy. So you'll want to be aware that Brizdel is another brand name for paroxetine, and it is contraindicated in pregnancy. And our SSRIs are going to be contraindicated with the use of MAOIs. So a 2-week washout period is going to be required if the patient is going to an SSRI from an MAOI. However, a 5-week washout period is going to be required if they are going from an SSRI to an MAOI. So I would make sure you know that difference. So 2-week washout period if you are going from an MAOI to an SSRI, and a 5-week washout period if you are going from an SSRI to an MAOI. Adverse effects of our SSRIs are going to include severe nausea, dizziness, diarrhea, headache, agitation, hallucinations, increased heart rate, decreased libido, ejaculation difficulties, and an increase in fall risk. So there are several adverse effects that patients may experience, as well as the warning for increased suicidal thoughts and actions. So we want to make sure that our patients are aware of all of these risks and warnings before we dispense these medications. 2 of our SSRIs are actually going to be used for anxiety as well, and these include citalopram or Celexa and escitalopram or Lexapro. Citalopram is going to have a max dose in the elderly, and that is going to be 20 milligrams per day in those who are greater than or equal to 60 years old, and this is due to the risk of QT prolongation. For our other patients, citalopram is going to have a max dose of 40 milligrams per day. Similarly, with escitalopram, there is going to be a max dose of 10 milligrams per day in our patients who are greater than or equal to 60 years old due to QT prolongation. And for our other patients, there is going to be a max dose of 20 milligrams per day. Another SSRI that we have available for depression is going to be fluoxetine, which has the brand name Prozac and Seraphim. Seraphim is going to be used particularly for those with premenstrual dysphoric disorders, so I would make sure you know that. And fluoxetine is also going to be our most activating SSRI. So we want to counsel our patients to take this drug in the morning, and it's going to have a half-life of 7 to 10 days, so patients will not experience withdrawal symptoms when this medication is stopped. That is a very unique characteristic of fluoxetine, so I would make sure that you know that. Paroxetine is another one of our agents that we use, and this is going to be our most sedating SSRI, so we want to counsel our patients to take this drug in the evening. It's also going to require a taper for several weeks due to withdrawal symptoms that patients can experience. And remember, it does come by the brand name Brizdel, which is going to be contraindicated in our pregnant patients. Our last SSRI that we have is sertraline or Zoloft, and this is going to be the preferred agent in our patients who have cardiac risks. Similar to our SSRIs, we also have our SNRIs, which are our serotonin and norepinephrine reuptake inhibitors, and these are going to carry some of the same contraindications and adverse effects, including sweating, increased heart rate, dry mouth, dilated pupils, constipation, increased blood pressure, and increased risk of bleeding. I would remember sweating as a side effect because that is unique to this drug class. SNRIs are also going to be contraindicated with the use of MAOIs due to hypertensive crisis, and serotonin syndrome can also occur. So, like I mentioned previously, there is going to be a washout period for 5 to 14 days. Our agents in this class are going to include venlafaxine or Effexor, duloxetine or Cymbalta, and desvenlafaxine or Prestique. Venlafaxine is going to be used for depression as well as panic disorder, social anxiety disorder, and generalized anxiety disorder, so I would make sure you know that. And it is going to have a max dose of 375 milligrams per day for immediate release formulations. Duloxetine or Cymbalta is going to be used for depression as well as peripheral neuropathy, which we mentioned in our last podcast episode. And it can also be used for fibromyalgia, generalized anxiety disorder, and chronic musculoskeletal pain. We also have our tricyclic antidepressants that can be used. And again, these are going to be contraindicated with the use of MAOIs. And these are going to have adverse effects of QT prolongation with overdose, orthostasis, dry mouth, blurry vision, urinary retention, and constipation. Tertiary amines are going to have increased anticholinergic properties, so this is going to mean that there is going to be an increase in sedation as well as weight gain. Our tricyclic antidepressants are going to include amitriptyline or Elavil or doxepin, as well as nortriptyline or Pamelor. Doxepin in particular is not to be used in pregnancy, and like I mentioned, these are tertiary amines, so there is going to be an increase in sedation and weight gain. Amitriptyline should be taken in the evening every hour of sleep due to the sedation adverse effects, and it can also be used for neuropathic pain and migraine prophylaxis. We also have bupropion, which is a dopamine and norepinephrine reuptake inhibitor, and this goes by the brand name Wellbutrin SR or Wellbutrin XL. There is a max dose of 450 milligrams per day due to seizure risk, and bupropion, you should know, also goes by the brand name Zyban, which is used for smoking cessation. Bupropion can also come in combination with naltrexone, which is known as Contrave, and Contrave is going to be used for weight management, so I would make sure that you know the differences between those brand names. Bupropion can be activating, so it should be taken in the morning, and you don't want to have multiple forms of bupropion on board in a patient. this is going to increase their risk of seizures. So a patient should not be taking bupropion for depression and Zyban for smoking cessation and Contrave for weight management. That should just never be done. Bupropion is also a CYP2D6 inhibitor, so it's going to decrease tamoxifen effectiveness, which is just a little pearl that you can keep in the back of your mind. We've spoken a lot about our MAOIs, so finally we are going to discuss those in a bit more detail. These are going to be our monoamine oxidase inhibitors, and these are inhibiting the enzyme monoamine oxidase, which is responsible for breaking down catecholamines, including serotonin, norepinephrine, epinephrine, and dopamine. If these are dramatically increased, then a patient is going to be at risk of hypertensive crisis and death. To avoid hypertensive crisis and serotonin syndrome or psychosis, these drugs cannot be used with other drugs that are going to increase concentrations of norepinephrine, epinephrine, serotonin, or dopamine. Patients should be counseled to avoid tyramine-rich foods, which include things like sauerkraut, dried meats, yeast extract, aged cheeses, soy sauce, and really anything aged, fermented, smoked, or pickled. Our monoamine oxidase inhibitors are going to include isocarboxazid or Marplan, phenylzine or Nardil, tranylcypramine or Parnate, and the selegiline transdermal patch. The patch needs to be changed once daily, and again, these agents are going to have a risk for hypertensive crisis or serotonin syndrome when they are taken in conjunction with other TCAs, SSRIs, SNRIs, or tyramine-rich foods. The last agents that we have for depression kind of fall into a miscellaneous antidepressant category, and one of these is going to be mirtazapine or Remeron, and Remeron is often used in nursing homes, and it is available in an oral disintegrating tablet. You'll also see mirtazapine used in our oncology and skilled nursing to help with sleep and increase appetite, but it does have adverse effects, including sedation and weight gain. Trazodone is another agent that is used oftentimes off-label for sleep, and it again has adverse effects of sedation and even priapism. The last thing that I want us to review today is going to be how we treat our treatment-resistant depression, and then just quickly review how we select the best antidepressant for our unique patients. Treatment-resistant depression is going to be depression that is not fully responding to two full treatment trials of our treatment that we just went over. We have ruled out bipolar disorder in these patients, and we've assessed their medication adherence, and we have also verified that their antidepressants are all at optimal doses. So now we are going to have to use adjunctive agents to help alleviate these symptoms. Antipsychotics and NMDA receptor antagonists can be included adjunctive therapies. And as far as our antipsychotics are concerned, we can utilize Abilify or olanzapine with fluoxetine, which is known as Symbiax, or quetiapine, which is also known as Seroquel. It's important to remember that our antipsychotics do have a black box warning in our elderly patients with dementia. There is going to be an increased risk of death. And olanzapine with fluoxetine is going to have adverse effects of sedation, weight gain, and increased lipids. Our NMDA receptor antagonist that we have available is called Spravato, and this is a nasal spray that does come with a REMS program, so this agent must be administered under the supervision of a provider. Lastly, when it comes to selecting the best antidepressant for our patients, we want to make sure we are considering all other contributing factors. So if our patient has anxiety, then we are going to use an SSRI or an SNRI, potentially venlafaxine. If we are treating neuropathic pain, then we may utilize duloxetine. If the patient is wanting to avoid weight gain, then we want to avoid mirtazapine as well as our tricyclic antidepressants and probably consider using bupropion. If the patient desires weight gain, then we would consider using mirtazapine every hour of sleep. If the desired effect is sedation, then again, we could utilize mirtazapine at night. Or if the patient has any cardiac issues like bradycardia or heart failure or post-MI, then we want to avoid citalopram and escitalopram and instead use sertraline. If the patient is at risk of seizures, then we want to avoid bupropion completely. And if the patient is wanting to avoid any sexual dysfunction side effects, then we want to make sure that they are avoiding SNRIs or SSRIs. All right, everyone, that is going to conclude our review on depression. In our next episode of the NAPLEX podcast, we are going to review bipolar disorder, and we are going to go over the diagnosis and acute drug treatment, as well as maintenance drug treatment for bipolar 1 and bipolar 2. Until then, everyone, I hope you have a fantastic remainder of your day, and I will meet you back here for our next episode.